grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In his first letter to the church in Corinth, St. Paul says of himself and of all the ministers of Christ's church, "This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Stewards of the mysteries of God. There's perhaps no day in the Christian year when a pastor is more conscious of his work as a steward of the mysteries of God than on this festival of the Holy Trinity, Trinity Sunday. For the past 6 months, we have remembered all that God has done for our salvation in the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of his Son, and the sending of the Holy Spirit. But today, on Trinity Sunday, we consider not so much what God has done, but who God is. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. We consider the mystery of the Holy Trinity, the God who is three in one and one in three. Now we can only speak of God because God has spoken to us. But God is not so much the object of our knowledge as he is the cause of our wonder. As we heard St. Paul explain in the epistle read in church this morning, "Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." And whenever Trinity Sunday comes around, every year my thoughts turn to those memorable words of Dr. Luther. He wrote, "God is a supernatural and inscrutable being who exists at the same time in every little seed, whole and entire, and yet in all and above all and outside all created things. Nothing is so small, but God is still smaller. Nothing is so large, but God is still larger. Nothing is so short, but God is still shorter. Nothing is so long, but God is still longer. Nothing is so broad, but God is still broader. Nothing is so narrow, but God is still narrower. He is an inexpressible being, above and beyond all that can be described or imagined. He is an inexpressible being, above and beyond all that can be described or imagined." And yet this God who, as St. Paul says in his first letter to Timothy, dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen nor can see, has in fact revealed himself in Jesus, through whom we have come to know God, to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, speaks of his Father and speaks of the Holy Spirit. But it's chiefly at Jesus' baptism that the mystery of the Holy Trinity is most clearly revealed. God the Son stands in the waters of the Jordan River. He hears the voice of God the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And God the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus in the form of a dove. When you and I were baptized, God the Father made us his beloved children for Jesus' sake, and the Holy Spirit was poured out also on us. Our life as God's child began in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and our entire life as Christians is lived in that triune name. The Church's divine service begins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the whole divine service is filled with the praise and adoration of the Holy Trinity. To be caught up into the life of the triune God is to be caught up into the life of God, who is love. In his first letter, St. John says, with the very greatest simplicity, God is love. God is love. Note that St. John doesn't just say that God loves, which is true enough. No, St. John says, God is love. And St. John says this because although God is one, he is not solitary. God is love, the love that flows eternally among the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As human beings, you and I are made in the image of God, in the image of the God who is three in one, this perfect communion of love among the three persons of the Trinity. And so to be made in the image of the triune God is to be made in the image of this God who is one, but not solitary, God who is communion in love. And to live in conformity with the image of the triune God is to live not as isolated individuals, but in communion, in fellowship, in sharing. But the Holy Scriptures tell us that our first parents lost this image when they broke communion with their Maker by wishing to be their own God. And then their son Cain rose up and killed his brother Abel. And when God asks Cain where Abel is, Cain replies, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The whole tragedy of the human story is that human beings continue to answer back to God saying, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Because all the hatred and the bitterness and the selfishness and the contempt for others, and yes, the sheer indifference of fallen humankind is summed up in Cain's disdainful words, "Am I my brother's keeper?" But it is the reality of the Holy Trinity and of us human beings as made in the image of the triune God which provide the true and faithful answer to Cain's question. Am I my brother's keeper? Because as human beings made in the image of the triune God, we are called to communion, fellowship, sharing. And it's the refusal of that vocation to live in the image of the triune God, whose very life is sharing, which has made God's good world such a veritable wasteland of wrath and sorrow. And so we are called to repentance. Today's Old Testament lesson, we see the repentant prophet Isaiah, who tells of his call to the prophetic office during his vision of the thrice holy God in the temple. Says the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." It was then that one of the seraphim took a burning coal from off the altar, and with it touched Isaiah's lips, saying, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin forgiven." At every Holy Communion, our lips are touched, not with a live coal borne by one of the seraphim, but with the hallowed bread that is our Savior's body, and with the hallowed wine, which is our Savior's blood, poured out for us. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin forgiven. Yes, here at the altar, we are made one with Christ, and one with one another, and with all saints in heaven and on earth. Here we are drawn into the very life of the triune God who is love. And so we can sing in the words of one of our communion hymns, "My heart has now become thy dwelling, O blessed Holy Trinity, with angels I thy praises telling shall live in joy eternally. Lord, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest good. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting."